All right, turn your, get your Bibles and turn in your Bibles to Galatians 2. We're gonna look at this scripture passage in relation to the question, what kind of church is this? A lot of us are new to this environment of Christ the King, and you may or may not be sensing that there's something different here, but you're not quite sure what that something is. And for some of you, this may be the very first church experience that you've ever had, but you've had friends that have had church experiences, and so you've been listening to them, and they've been telling you about what their church experiences are, and you've come, and you've experienced this, and you're going, wait a minute, something's not, this experience is different than what I'm getting described in other places. So what we're going to do is I'm going to share with you three words, three adjectives that I hope will help you understand the difference between what you're hearing from others and what you're experiencing here at Christ the King. And some of you are visiting Christ the King Snohomish, and you're trying to determine, and I've talked to several of you, you're trying to determine if this is a place where you want to align yourself. And that's important. That's really important, and let me tell you why. Because the place of agreement is the place of power. Now, let me say that again. The place of agreement is the place of power. What do I mean by that? Well, what I'm saying is that it's really, really powerful for the body of Christ when your vision and your mission and your values line up with a body of believers whose mission and values are the same as yours. So when that happens, there's a position of power for the kingdom of God. And so some of you, as a result of this series, and it's a three-part series that we're going to be in over the next 3 weeks, you're going to determine that Christ the King Snohomish is exactly where you want to be. This is where you belong. And that's going to be great. And some of you are going to, as a result of these three messages, you're going to determine that Christ the King Snohomish is not where you belong. And that's okay also, once again, because the position of agreement is the position of power for the kingdom of God. That's why we have different flavors of churches at times. I'm not talking theology, I'm talking just different flavors and how they present things and how they talk about things and stuff like that. So during this series, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys three descriptive words to see if those three descriptions ring true to how God has put you together and wired you for the kingdom of God here in this particular expression of that kingdom, okay? Now, some of you, in the brief time you've been coming to Christ the King Snohomish, you're already highly committed to this body. Man, you're sold out to this body. You want to, but here's the thing, you want to be even more effective. You want to be have a better understanding of this culture that we now call Christ the King. And you want to be able to contribute and to its growth and its development in greater ways than you have already. I'm going to give you these same three words during this short series that I think express Christ the King culture very well. And what we're going to do is we're going to take these three words, and with the Word of God, we're going to dissect those so that you know exactly what Christ the King is about. Now, this is a message that is preached and taught throughout the Christ the King network. So all around the world, this message is taught in all the Christ the King churches in various times throughout the year. This won't be the last time that you hear this, because we'll probably do this in our connection group setting or maybe once a year, so that you completely understand what the vision, mission, and values are of Christ the King, so you can make that decision. And so on this first week, we're going to look at one word, and this word is real, R-E-A-L, real. And the question is, what kind of church is Christ the King Snohomish? What kind of church is Christ the King International, of which we are part of? Well, the answer to that is that Christ the King is a real church. And what I mean by that is this, that Christ the King is real people who are looking for a real relationship with a real God, working on real problems in a real way. That would sum it up. But you're not getting off that easy. In other words, if you go to any Christ the King, you ought to be able to hear this expression. We're here to keep it real. We're here to keep it real. Because we have to ask that, we have to answer this question. Why do we have to keep it real? Why do we even have to discuss this? Well, because for many of us, we have been in churches that, quite frankly, haven't been real. I think of the church that I grew up in. You know, my dad was a pastor, and I grew up in a Christian church setting, and we were in various churches around the country at various times. But I think back at my time growing up, and I have to tell you that I'm not sure the church I grew up in was really real. And here's why I say that. Because on Sunday morning, we would go to church, and we would wear clothes that we would wear no place else the rest of the week. You understand what I mean? Yeah, we would hear a style of music that we would never, ever hear any other place. It was never played on the radio. It was never played in junior high, high school. It was never played that way. We went to a church that you heard music that really wasn't real any other time. We would speak in ways, and we would use words in church that would never be used at any other place in our lives. Sanctification. How many times do you use that every during the day? Okay, you understand what I mean? You go to churches and you find people that act differently when they're in church. People will come in the door, they'll put on their church face, and they'll kind of act their churchy way. And then you're gonna get in the car afterwards, and you're gonna say, "Whew, man, I am so glad that's over now, and get back to reality." Amen. See? No, don't anybody owe that. That's true. That is so true about churches. Even today, it seems to be that way. And I'm telling you that as a pastor of a Christ the King International Community Church. And this is always where I've wanted to go, so this is nothing new. My heart is to keep Christ the King Snohomish real. Very real. Now, the struggle with keeping a church real goes all the way back to the first century. That's what Paul writes in Galatians 2, verse 11. So I want you to start verse 11, chapter 2 of Galatians. It says, now I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I'm going to switch a little bit later, but you'll catch that. It says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him face to face, or to his face, for what he did was very wrong. Okay, now, here is a very important time in history, because now you got Peter and you got Paul face to face in an argument. What are they arguing about? Look at verse 12. When he's talking about Peter, first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Okay, let's stop right there. What's going on? What's going on here? Well, Jewish religious customs said that there are certain things that you can do and certain things that you can't do. And the dietary laws of the Jewish nation at that time were surrounded by those do's and don'ts. And so you probably know that Jews cannot eat what? Pork. All right. So what we have here is Peter's hanging out with some of his Gentile friends, which is perfectly okay to do. And they're passing around and they're having and they're eating ham sandwiches and ham hocks and they're putting bacon bits on their salad and all those things, because we all know everything tastes better with
bacon.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I bet some of you had bacon on your donut this morning when you came in. Well, that's what Peter was doing. They were having bacon donuts. And so, so look what happens when the Jewish believers start coming into this whole situation. What does Peter do? Well, he drops the donut. And he starts pulling back. And look what it says in verse 13. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Now, the ironic thing about that is Barnabas isn't even a Jew. And he's dropping the donut with the bacon on it. He didn't want to have anything to do with bacon bits. He's not even a Jew. Verse 14, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the other believers, there's nothing more real than that, people. Peter's getting scolded in front of everybody here, okay? Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, Why in the world are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You know what he's saying right there in that one sentence? You ain't real. You're not being real here. This whole thing is a facade. You're a Jew who's willing to adopt the customs of Gentiles, which, by the way, is not wrong. Under the new law, that's not a wrong thing to do. But he's saying what you've done now is you have backed off of it. Why? Because you're caring more about what people think than what the truth really is here. And now you're even trying to encourage the Gentiles not to do their thing. You're trying to get them to follow the Jewish custom. That's a lie. Why are you doing that? Look at verse 15. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by what?
Faith.
Okay, are you in your Bibles? Say it out loud. Faith in who? Right. Not by obeying the law. See, it's not about the customs, people. It's not about what you eat or don't eat. It's not about the law. And then it goes on. It says, and we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. In other words, people, if you are going to be doing your own thing, none of you are going to get to heaven. You're not going to make it. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, in other words, if righteousness could be gained by what you do for Jesus, Christ died for nothing. Whew, man, that's big. That's big. What he's saying here is that salvation is not about you. Salvation is not about us. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how great we are. It's not about what we do. It's about how great he is and what he did.
Amen. That's right.
And here's the significance of this teaching. It becomes even more magnified when you realize that Galatians is one of the first New Testament books ever written. It was written about 15 years after the start of the church. Now, why is that significant? Well, look what happened in the 15 years that the church was in existence. All of a sudden, in 15 years' time, they began to worry more about what people thought than what Jesus thought. And they began to introduce all these unrealistic expectations into the church. And this is where the challenge lies today for the church. It hasn't changed since that time. See, it's not that the churches that are out there, it's not that they don't have the right stuff. Most churches that you will go and you will visit or you will go and you will attend, they believe in Jesus. They believe he died and that he was raised again. The problem is all the other stuff that they start piling in on it. And it gets weird. Let me give you a good example of this. I'm not a coffee drinker, and that's going to be an issue with some of you right off the bat. But I'm not a coffee drinker. But when I do drink coffee, here's what I have to do to it. I'll get a really big mug, and I'll fill about a quarter full of coffee. The rest goes with cream, and the rest goes with sweetener, and if it's too hot, the rest goes with water. I've actually had people say to me, would you like some coffee with your coffee? Okay, now we can say the same thing about the church. There's times where I've wanted to go in to a church and say, would you like some Christianity with your Christianity? It's because there's so much stuff that people add into it. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you seven ways that CTK Snohomish is going to try to keep it real. So those of you who are looking, those of you who are here for the first time, those of you who want to know what we've, you know, you, maybe you were here under Central Christian Church and you want to know, okay, what's changed here? Nothing's really changed, but let me just tell you where we're going to keep it real. All right, here it is. We're going to try to keep our full attention and focus on God. That's it. Because this is all about God. It's not about us. And it appears in our scripture that Peter has lost track of this. And Peter says, Paul says to Peter and to us in verse 16, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. You get the message there? It's about God. It's not about the law. It's not about anything you do. It's about God. Church, if our walk with God is about keeping all kinds of rules and regulations that we set up and getting things done under our own power, we're not going to make it. We're not. We might as well close the doors because no matter how hard we try, we're not going to make it. This is all about God validating us because we believe in him, because we trust in him, because we have our faith in him. It's by faith. It's not by keeping the law. And when you think about it, what's the first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And people, when we get that one right, when we get that one down, then we can pay attention to the rest of it. That one's got to come first. It's all completely about God. Another way we're going to try to do this is that we're going to try very hard not to take ourselves too seriously, but we're going to take God very seriously. Amen. Because Christ the King Community Church is God's church. It's not Dave Browning's church. And those of you who have no clue who I'm talking about, Dave Browning is the lead pastor of Christ the King International. It's not Cliff Tatamit's church. Cliff is the national pastor for Christ the King International. And by the way, you can be praying for them. They are today in South Africa at the very first international pastors conference for Christ the King. It's amazing. It's going to be so much fun. I can't hardly wait to hear about it. But you see, you can be praying for them. But it's not their church. It's not my church. And as sad as I am to tell you this, it's not your church either. Some of you would like to think it is, but it's not your church. And here's why I say that, because 10 to 20 years from now, the chances are that most of us will not be here. We won't be here at this church, but this church probably will exist because this church has a long history, 126 years. I don't know if it's going to go away anytime soon. It's his to do with as he likes. We put the title of Christ the King on our body of believers. And the reason we do that is because he's the owner. He is the operator. It's his work. And all we're doing is trying to cooperate with him in what he's doing. We're just trying to keep our focus on him. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Here at CTK, we're going to keep it real by taking a normal approach to the Word of God. One of the things that makes us a real church is that we're not going to try to take this Bible, and we're not going to try to take all kinds of weird stuff out in between the lines of it. We're not going to do that. We're not going to take it, and we're not going to take everything that what we want to believe and try to cram it into the words here. It doesn't work that way. Believe me, I believe that this Bible is the God's breath of words onto this page. There's nothing that we have to add to it. There's nothing that we should take away from it. There is not a whole bunch in between the lines that's hidden as if it's a Beatle album that you're playing backward. All right? It's not that way. It is what it is. And sometimes we have to read it exactly for what it is. And what I mean by that, and what I mean by normal, is we have to treat it sometimes as a normal book. Because sometimes this is just about history. There's nothing hidden in it. It's history, and we need to read it that. Maybe sometimes God's telling us something else other than all the stuff we try to keep putting into it. So we're not going to dump a bunch of stuff into the Bible. And we're not trying to make this Bible, we're not going to make this Bible a foundation or a base camp in which to jump into arguments, in which to jump into debates, in which to jump into bashing other people. It's not what the Word of God is about. We read in verses 17 through 19, this is what the Bible is. This is the purpose of the Bible right here. But we suppose we seek to make right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we've abandoned the law. Would that mean that Christ has led us into sin? No. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I've already torn down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all the requirements of the law so that I might live for God. Let me tell you what this is. That's the purpose of the Bible right here. The purpose of the Bible is to be a big arrow that flashes this way to God, this way to God, this way to God, this way to God. And the purpose of the Bible is not to be some foundation for arguments and frustration and weirdness that some people have made it. Amen. Amen. The purpose of the Bible is to say, here is the answer, and the answer is God. The answer is Jesus Christ, period. And I think some churches, they lose track of this and they start to spend all their time trying to dissect the book in really strange ways. And please understand, that's not what the approach is that we are to take. All right? Here's number three. At CTK, we're going to try to have a very realistic view of spiritual development. And by spiritual development, I mean that life change that life change that happens when God's Son comes in and gets involved in our lives. Chapter 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see the balance there in that scripture? Here we are. We are on one hand, we're trying to be just like Christ. But on the other hand, we're not. We're not like him. And it's important to realize that what we are involved in, people, is a process. It's a journey. Christ lives in us, but the Bible says this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that this work that God is doing inside of us is not going to be finished until we, you and I, stand before God and we see him as he truly is. And we become like him on that day, not before. So until that day, this is a journey for us. It's a process. And it's important for us to set an appropriate mark and have a realistic view of what spiritual development is for us. Let me see if I can make this a little more clear. Some churches that you go into, and we've all been in them, let's just be honest about this and real. Some churches have this mentality that when you walk into it, you kind of get this feeling like, we got all our stuff together. And anybody who comes in that door who ain't got all their stuff together, we're going to be all over them. We're going to be all over that. But here at Christ the King, can I tell you, we're just going to switch that. We're going to switch that mentality, and we're going to say, you know what? Welcome to Christ the King. We're all messed up. We're all messed up. We don't have our stuff together, and if somebody comes through the door that says that they have all their stuff together, we're going to be all over that. Because that's something's wrong with that. That's not right. We're going to switch a word here that has been used way too often, and it's used a lot in Christian circles today. And I don't like it, and here's why. The word is accountability. Accountability kind of has this sense to it that there's this one person that we're kind of setting up here that has all their stuff together. And then there's another person over here that is kind of all messed up and doesn't have their stuff together. And we're going to pair them. And this person is going to be an accountability to this person. So this person who's all messed up and doesn't have their stuff meets with the person who's got all their stuff together. And so they come together and the person says, hey, How's all your stuff? And what's the temptation for this person? All my stuff is fine. When it's not fine. That's all messed up, people. We're no longer going to be saying, I'm going to have an accountability partner. Now, you know why? Because the standard is the same for all of us. What we're going to say is this. We're going to be a support. We're going to support. And support says, hey, you know what? I'm messed up. How about you? And you know what that breeds? It breeds honesty. It breeds real. It breeds truth. And you know what? God can work with that. God can grow us with that. And it communicates this, that we have nothing to lose and we have nothing to prove because God's doing the work. And it's a journey and it's a process. And we're going to have this realistic view of spiritual development. Okay? All right. Here's number four. Here at Christ the King Community Church, we're going to view every believer as a minister. And I believe, those of you who have known me a long time know that I've never gone off this. I believe the one thing that makes this real is I do not see myself as the minister of this body. I see you as ministers. That's what Scripture says. So when I say we're letting a staff person go and then we're expanding the staff to oversee, that means that you need to become ministers. Because we can't keep hiring ministers and ministers and ministers. It breeds the wrong idea behind this. I see myself as a minister. Yes, I am hired to see this ministry and be a good steward of this ministry altogether and kind of that lead. But, I really would prefer, some of you call me Pastor Greg. You know what I would really prefer? I'd really just prefer you call me Greg. Because as soon as you put that title to me, and I understand the respect thing, I really do, and I'm thankful for that and I honor that, but here's the thing, I respect you just as much in being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want us to make sure that we are working together that way as ministers. And it gets us away from this this great man of God theory that goes around in churches. And the great man of God theory is the idea that I'm a minister and somehow God is kind of doing this special work in me as the pastor of the church that he's not doing in you, the average people. And that's how Catholicism got started. And I'm not putting down Catholicism, please don't take that away. But it's not about the priest anymore. It's about you and God and us being together as ministers, going out into the body and out into the world and being the body of Christ that we're to be. So we believe that God is at work in every single person. And we believe that everybody has something to give. Every single one of you has been given a gift if you've come into Jesus Christ. And if you're not using that gift to edify the body of Christ, then we're limping. We're not at our best. Remember, it goes back to that thing, the place of agreement, the place of giftedness also. If we're not using our gifts, then you're cheating the body. We need everybody working together for the body of Christ. Not with all the stuff that we try to put in, but just to be the body of Christ into the world. All right, I need to go on. Here at CTK, we're going to accept people just as they are. You know, in the story of the prodigal son, where the son left home and he kind of took his inheritance and he just kind of blew it and he ended up wallowing with bacon bits. Well, the story tells us that he ended up coming back. And the story says that as the son was coming home, as the son was coming back, and yet he was still a long ways off, the father dropped everything and ran to meet him. And that's, people, I'm telling you, that's the time that we have to go after people, when they're on their way back, but yet they're still a long ways off. We need to run after them. We don't wait for them to get closer. We don't wait for them to get all their stuff together. We accept them right where they're at. Amen. I mean, think about it. They're pointed in the right direction, right? They're coming home. We need to run after them. Now, can I just share with you that when people come into this place of worship, when people come in here, when you come in here, you know what I assume? I assume you got issues. And the reason I assume you've got issues is because we all have issues, because Satan has done a number on every single one of us. And I assume that people, if you're coming in here, you've got devastation, you've got baggage, you've got wreckage in your life. And that's all right. That's all right. And it should be all right with you too. However, here's the other thing I assume, that everybody who walks through these doors is here for a reason. So I believe, and Christ the King believes, that God is up to something in every single one of your lives. And that's why we believe they're coming in that's the reason why they're coming in the door, because God's doing something. And we're just going to take them that way, just exactly that way. And you know what? It's messy. Sometimes it's really messy, and sometimes it's heartbreaking, and sometimes they're only here for a period of time. But that's okay, because ministry is messy, and that's what God does. He takes you you are, but he doesn't leave you there. And that's what we're going to do. I think it's really interesting that when Jesus healed the leper, a lot of churches just, they have this mentality that, you know, you got to have your stuff together and then we'll accept you. But I find it interesting that when Jesus healed the leper, the Bible tells us that he reached out and touched him. And it was at that point that the leper was healed. But we forget that when Jesus first reached out and touched him, he was still a leper. He wasn't healed and then Jesus touched him. Jesus didn't go, be healed. Oh, let me give you a hug. No, he said, let me give you a hug and then let the healing begin. And what's so disturbing to me is that many times we want it the other way. We want people to get healed first and then we'll touch them. We don't want to touch them when they still have all their stuff and cooties. Right? We don't want to touch them when they have the open sores and sickness. But I tell you, here at CDK, we're not doing it that way. We want to get past that. We want to reach out and touch people while they still have open sores and while there's still hurts and pains. And we want to do that first. And then we want to see how they get healed. Amen? Number six, we're here to maintain a comfortable atmosphere. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but how many of you have coffee or tea in your hand right now? Or at the bottom of your chair? Or you're wishing you could go back and get one right now? See, that's a comfort thing. Remember the first time you ever came into a church and felt uncomfortable? What was the first thing you went for? Something you could put in your hand. We want to make people feel comfortable here. One of my biggest pet peeves is to have to go to a church and find people at the back door that have these lanyards or T-shirts, and they say greeter. you're getting paid to shake my hand? What's going on here? I don't understand that you have to. Let's see if you do it now. Yeah, it bothers me, because when you think about it, isn't that what we're all called to do? When somebody comes in the door, do you rush to greet them? Do you say, come, let me give you a cup of coffee, because you know that's where the comfort is? When somebody, when a mom or a dad's having trouble getting their kids out of the car, do you rush out to go help them? Do you keep your eyes open that way? When it's pouring down rain like it was at first service this morning, do you go out with an umbrella and say, hey, welcome, come on in, brother, come on in, sister, we love you? I don't care if you've known them 20 years, do you still do that? People, whether you like it or not, people need hugs. And we're a society that's gotten so far away from that. We're going to maintain a comfortable atmosphere here where, you know, you can come, you can be hugged, you can be, if you don't want to be hugged, that's fine. You know what, if you want to worship, and you can worship. Last week, I'm going to tell on somebody who's sitting here, forgive me, because I didn't ask to share this, but last week's, somebody came to me and said, and I'm keeping my eyes down for a reason, okay? Somebody asked me if it was okay to dance here. And, you know, your first thought is, okay, what kind of dancing are you talking about? Are you a leper? You know, one of those? But, you know, I said, no, you can dance here. If it honors God, dance here. And, you know, I just tell people this. I want you to come and feel comfortable here. If you don't feel comfortable raising your hands, don't raise your hands. That's growth. That's a process. That's a journey. If you want to get on your knees, get on your knees. I don't care what anybody thinks around you. I mean, I was telling people in second service, Jean, my wife, who comes to second service, she won't even sit with me anymore. I sit over here by myself. You know the reason why? Because I smack her all the time. I'm not mean. I'm just, praise God. And, you know, she's just tired of having bloody noses all the time. And so she sits with other people who are comfortable not doing that. But say, I don't care what you think, because it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about Jesus, okay? Okay, I got to move on. Number seven, we'll be done. You know, one of the things that you guys get the benefit of over the other services, you get length, okay? You just get length, because I'm a little longer than the last one, because I don't have anything to butt up against here. Number seven, we try to be ourselves. And we don't always succeed at this, but we try. What we understand from the Bible is that Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for me. He died for others. He did not die for who you would become. He did not die for who I would become. He died for us. He died for everything about us. God loves us. And here's the thing is, he loves you. Be who you are. Be who you are. He did not die for who you would become. Because who you are is good enough for God. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. And when it comes to our salvation, I've said this, we have nothing to prove. God already proved it. When you're not real, it's when you're trying to be something that you're not. And that's the issue that Paul had with Peter. Quit trying to be something you're not. Don't be something you're not. Be who you are. All right. Where do we apply all this? At the end of each of these messages, I'm going to give you three C's. All these are applications. The first one is this. When you come into Christ the King, celebrate with us. Celebrate. Celebrate God's love. Celebrate God's love for you in spite of who we are. Not because of who we are. When you come into worships and into the center, celebrate this God with us. Celebrate the reality that we can be real here. We don't have to fake each other out. You do not have to put a mask on here. If you are hurting, you are hurting. If you have marriage issues, you have marriage issues. If you have an illness, you have an illness. Don't hide. We're in this together. If you're going home and being something that you're not here, then you're not being real. We want you to be real. You need to celebrate that. God's big enough for it. Second thing is connect. You need to get involved in a real way. Take the time and the initiative to move your relationship with God beyond the superficial. Take the time and the initiative to move your relationship with each other beyond the superficial. And that means get involved and get engaged with a small group or a ministry team. But connect. All the things I've talked about today cannot and will not happen unless you're connected. And the final thing is contribute. Contribute to this body of believers in a real way by being real yourself. Really support it. Really get involved with it. Really share who you are. Contribute yourself to the environment. And your contribution is critical, and let me tell you why. Because we will never be corporately what we're not individually. If C.T. Case and Homish is real, it's going to be because we're comprised of people who are real. And if we keep it real, it will be because you and I keep it real.